Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Monday, which means we get into consumer-related issues. And for today, we want to look back. There's been about a week or so since we had Black Friday, and it's been about exactly a week since we had Cyber Monday, two really big retail events that people look forward to. Now, some of the prices that were, that we were hearing about, that were being quoted out there, were actually quite crazy. And to help us to unpack what actually happened on the ground, but more online, we are joined by Karen Addison, who is the Chief Executive Officer of PayU South Africa. They are a fintech and payments company, and she is also the chairperson of the e-commerce forum of South Africa. She's no stranger. We first spoke to her a couple of months ago, so it would be good. This is a good place for us to sort of see what the progress has been. At the time, we were hearing that e-commerce was, rising in adoption, but now it would be good for us to, maybe check in to see if that really ended up being the case. So, Karen, greetings to you.
Hi, Madeira. Morning. What a pleasure to be back on the show within a few months.
No. Thank you so much for availing yourself yet again to us. But, I think a good place for us to begin is just some of the numbers around, starting off with Black Friday. I remember receiving some numbers at the start of last week from your team, and there was one number in particular that really, really stood out to me. And it's the fact that, people that were, processing payments through, the PayU system between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. on Black Friday, the most amount of money that was spent in a single hour was 38 million rand. Is this really true?
Yes, that's the most amount of money that went through our switch at that time. And of course, there was also more money spent in other gateways. So I would say combined value will be far higher than that amount. But, this was a very interesting Black Friday, because generally we stay up at that midnight hour, and there's a lot of anticipation because people are looking for those big, big deals. And so the spending starts at that midnight hour, and it continues till about 2 a.m. And then we knock off, and South Africans are then up again at 8 a.m. spending. This year we saw not much activity at all at that midnight hour, and that continued to the morning. So we saw about 63% less spending at midnight, we just woke up to that 8 a.m. and suddenly this huge influx of spending, so which was about 85% more than last year. And this continued throughout the day. And then we saw our peak transaction volumes go up at about 7 p.m. So between 7 and 8 p.m. it was the last bit of shopping. And a huge spike in about three times more than last year in the volume of transactions that went through our switch.
I'm actually thinking, hearing you relating the events of the day like that, and I'm just wondering, you and your team, when you're up for that first bit of Black Friday, just based on experience, you expect that midnight rush. Are you scared when the midnight rush doesn't happen?
We were. So this year, we certainly were quite concerned because, it's that anticipation, and then suddenly the volume starts to spike, all our monitors and screens go. So it's a huge event for us. All our monitors start to go up and, the lights kind of flash on. And we, it was crickets. So we were really, really concerned. And we were very hopeful, so we continued. We just stayed awake. We thought, no, it's going to happen, and it never happened. 2 a.m. came, nothing happened. And so we thought, okay, so that's it. We're not sure if anything is going to happen. Let's just go to sleep. And then suddenly in the morning, I was my phone was going off, and I was getting pinged, going, okay, no, South Africans have woken up now. they've started shopping. So it was a huge relief, because we had seen a huge transition into e-commerce during lockdown. 50% more. Some PSPs had reported that it was 100% more. And so we thought that there was going to be a huge amount of shopping. Of course, you know, you have to still consider the impact of COVID on the South African economy and on budgets. And so we thought, okay, no, South Africans are really strapped for cash. But we were pleasantly surprised, I would say, around 8 a.m.
I think before we get into what then happened on Cyber Monday, perhaps we could take a step back, you know, for the listeners that might not be familiar with PayU, and get a sense of what it is that you guys are doing, the type of payments that you guys are processing, and if you're at liberty, maybe some of the perhaps retailers or, you know, shopping sites that are using your platform.
Sure. So PayU is a global company. We're fintech and we specialize in online payments. Predominantly, I would say card processing. However, we also have about 25 different other payment methods. We are, you know, quite dedicated to financial inclusivity. So we've got Discovery Miles, eBox, EFT. You can pay by pretty much anything. You know, we're there for you. Some of the merchants that we process for, the large retailers, so Mathmart, Mathball, Game, Macro, the Fashini Group, we do some of Takealot. We also, in addition to just e-commerce or pure e-commerce, there are a lot of merchants that we have in the education sector, in the airline industry, e-hailing, for instance, like Uber and Bolt. So we are quite wide in terms of industries. And interestingly, you know, when we provide our stats, we also provide industry stats. So that 14% increase that I provided, we look at the winners and the losers, and it was quite evident that due to the impact of COVID, some of the industries, like the airline industry, for instance, experienced quite a significant decline. That was about a 20% decline in comparison to last year. So that's in a nutshell. We have a significant amount of merchants on our books. And quite a lot of global merchants as well. But that is basically in a nutshell what PayU does.
So you can confirm for us that the hype at the beginning of lockdown that South Africans were going to embrace e-commerce and all of that, because I'm just thinking about the number that you spoke about just now where you said there's been a 50% increase and 100% for some merchants. In terms of some of the things that you guys are seeing on the ground. So the evidence is there that in 2020, people really did, on aggregate, 2020 was the year of e-commerce.
Absolutely. We have, you know, as I say, we've got a really wide view of the industry because we cover so many different segments. And so we can give you a pretty good view of what is happening in general. Of course, there were some segments which we don't cover really well. I would say that is covered by some of the other competitors in the market, such as PayPass, and that's the SMB segment. And they notably signed up a significant amount of merchants during lockdown. And they provided stats to say that they experienced 100% increase, probably due to the amount of merchants that were new now moving online. We could see this as well, and we'd opened up our platform to SMB as well, and offering free processing for periods of time so that we could assist merchants during lockdown. But certainly what was happening across segments wasn't all the same, but we can generalize to say that there was a significant increase in e-commerce spending.
And then on the other side of Black Friday, literally 2 or 3 days later, there's usually Cyber Monday. But I would say Cyber Monday is the less known of the two. And my understanding is that this is, at least from an origin point of view, you know, overseas, it was mainly focused on bringing down the prices of electronics and technology products, consumer technology products, and giving crazy specials, etc. But within the South African context, is that still the same case?
So this is really interesting, because, you know, since I started my career in the fintech digital space, Cyber Monday, especially in South Africa, has always actually been the day of big processing day that we look out for. And I would say around 4 or 5 years ago, it started to really change. The landscape started to change, and there were retailers that punted Black Friday. a bit more. And so there was a shift. And then suddenly Black Friday started to increase exponentially over the years. So much so that a few years ago, it brought a number of platforms down, which required quite a lot of work of what the banks and all the payments companies to get together to look at infrastructure changes to support this now huge volume that we were suddenly experiencing. So it was always Cyber Monday, now it's Black Friday. Interestingly, for this particular year, Cyber Monday was actually, the volume was really good. It's still, if we look at both, if we compare both Cyber Monday and Black Friday, Cyber Monday actually produces a lower amount of spending, almost 50% less spending. But if we look at the increase, our increase was a 63% increase in the value spent on Cyber Monday in comparison to last year. So it was a lot higher. And I think that, you know, there seemed to be quite a significant appetite for tech deals. So we actually saw, for two specific retailers, a 530% increase and a 270% increase in comparison to last year's sales. So just interesting in relation to previous years for Cyber Monday.
I'm also, you know, this is me just sitting and thinking about who actually maybe participates in Cyber Monday. Would you say that perhaps Cyber Monday, in terms of the increase in volumes, is helped by the fact that in terms of the niche that is there buying such products would have been people that got onto the e-commerce bandwagon a long time ago? So already these are people that are quite familiar with all of these things. They'll be waiting for this one day, and already they're going up. You're not dealing as much with issues of people that are reluctant about e-commerce. They know what's going on, they know what's up, they know what to look for.
This one is a little challenging to say, but I would say that there has definitely been a change in terms of the consumer perception on e-commerce. Because we've had this huge shift, I think that there's certainly a lot more trust, and that the consumer is becoming a lot more savvy. Because online also allows you the chance to do price comparisons. So you can have several web pages open at the same time, and you can look at all the various deals and where's your best prices. So it does give you value. If you think about it, going into a stores, you're not going to go from one store to the next. It's a lot more time consuming and quite challenging. So I think consumers are just becoming a lot more savvy, and they're getting more comfortable with technology and spending online. Trust, of course, plays a huge factor. And so all those things should be considered. And I think that is really what's been driving the volume up. Very interestingly, I actually had quite a few people reach out to me to say, Karen, where can I get the best deal? I want a new Mac, for instance. So I want, you know. So there seems to be a lot of people that have been looking for new computers, new equipment, probably getting accustomed to this new normal that we find ourselves in. And of course, you know, with the COVID cases increasing, it seems like we're most likely going to be working from home for quite some time.
The other one is, I think earlier on you were just talking about some of the businesses that because of COVID-19 haven't done well, the 20% decrease in your travel deals that you'd normally see. I guess that was to be expected because of what COVID has done to tourism. But who were the winners? Apart from the technology purchases made on Cyber Monday, when it comes to actually driving e-commerce at the moment, who are the winners?
Okay, so this year is a very interesting again because, you know, I didn't give you enough insight when I said consumers are becoming really savvy. We saw very, very interesting behavior because we saw huge increases in the retail industry, certainly with regards to fashion and beauty. But even within the beauty segment, for instance, which saw phenomenal increases, some of like, you know, we're looking at about 8,000% increase in comparison to a normal day that people would spend money. But in if we even look deep dive into the sector, which we did, we saw that there were some merchants that had a 250% increase in comparison to last year's Black Friday, and then there were some that had a 33% decrease. So really, if you had good deals, that's where, you know, you got the money. And on the one that had a 250% increase, there were deals as high as 90% off. So it really, the consumer was willing to spend where they got the best deal. And this was the behavior that we saw across industries.
That's actually very interesting from that point of view. And I guess for me, one of the last points about that Black Friday is those trends that you're seeing about the winners and losers, especially on the winner's side. Do those track for the year in terms of the industries that have really helped to push adoption, through the year?
Yeah, so, I actually want to mention the beauty industry again, because you will find on some of these sites they are using technology quite extensively. So, for instance, some of the websites have got cameras on them where you can try on a lipstick, for instance, and other makeup. And, so if you think about it, this is the not only the personalization, but the mimicking the experience of going into the store. I myself have tried it, and it actually has worked exceptionally well. So this kind of functionality really also expedites and, this whole movement into e-commerce. It makes the consumer more comfortable, and it really helps with the growth. So I would say, it's really the use of technology, thinking outside the box. How do you give the user the same kind of experience? There's also many companies now that will offer you try it, and if you don't like it, you can return it free. You basically just put it into the box, and they will pick it up, within a few days. So it's all this additional, functionality as well as service that retailers are offering the consumer that just allows them to shop a bit more online.
I think just from an outlook point of view, the last time that we spoke to you, everyone was still trying to gauge what's actually going on, and there were a lot of estimates at the time, and I think you had an expectation that we might see e-commerce touching that, 5 to 10%. Range, because despite all of everything we talk about, this is still a growing segment. So from everything that's happened in 2020 so far, we're now in December, where do you sort of see those numbers now sort of settling?
Right. So, for such a long time, we have been sitting with this 1.2% of retail and trying to break through that ceiling. And it's quite unfortunate because COVID has had to come along to allow us to break through that ceiling. And I think we certainly have. For me, I believe it's around the 4 to 5% mark. Generally in finance, whenever you break through a ceiling, you reach a new high and that continues. And so my hope is that, we continue past that point and consumers can really, really see the value of e-commerce. But not only has it been pushing more consumers to use it, and there's convenience and value and a whole lot of other possibilities when using e-commerce, it's also been an enabler of innovation and of moving the SMB sector and opening up more channels for them. So that's my I think it's around the 4 to 5%. If I look at PayU globally, we have our businesses seen a 50% increase, which is quite substantial. And I think that is actually continuing to grow. So once it's reached that high, we're not actually seeing any declines from that point.
And then because of everything that you're saying, particularly around the small to medium businesses, one of the things I've been curious about is to maybe understand if there's any friction on the side of the businesses, because one of the things we've heard a lot about when it comes to e-commerce adoption is the consumer side of things, to say that consumers, some have traditionally been a bit skeptical, easier to just go to your local shops, all of these things, behavior change. But on the side of the businesses, what type of education have you guys sort of had to maybe impart as you engage and signing up new merchants and all of that?
So, there is a lot of learning, because firstly, you just put your business online and you think, okay, people are just going to, they're going to shop and that's going to be it. But you actually have to deal with quite a lot of operational elements. fulfillment. How do I deliver something? If the person is not there, what actually happened? How do I deal with refunds? What if there's a delay in refund? How do I deal with consumers that are complaining? And what we experienced is certainly in that smaller sector, certainly I think, you know, specifically I actually want to mention delivery companies, because we had a few smaller delivery companies who now all of a sudden, due to lockdown, had partnered with some of the larger retailers and suddenly had to scale tremendously. And they didn't have the manpower to do that. So we actually opened up our support and operational division to them, and we helped them significantly with their operational, so the consumer queries, their refunds, for instance. And then, you know, until they were fine and happy to do it, but we took on a lot of them because we're able to scale a lot faster than, say, like a little two-man company, for instance. So I would say the operational elements that you don't really think of when you launch a business that come pretty much afterwards.
Okay. And the other one, as we sort of come to the end of the discussion, is to maybe take a step back to maybe get a sense of pay-use business in South Africa. How has actual business been through this year? We often hear that tech companies did well, specifically fintech companies. You know, in your case, has that been the case? And how do you relate your performance to the company as a whole globally?
Yeah, PayU has done exceptionally well. Not only have we done really well locally, but we've also done well globally, you know. So there's really no complaint. I have to say, though, that the way you do really is a reflection of decisions that you make and strategic choices that you take during the year. And we were hit very significantly at the start of lockdown by about, I think, 70%. Because as I said earlier, we cover a very wide industry segment. And so some were pretty much non-operational, whereas others started to take off. I think that we engaged really well with our merchants locally and actually internationally. We're setting up a number of partnership discussions and so forth, which really helped us in the long term. Of course, my involvement in the EFSA assisted there as well, because the EFSA was able to liaise with government so that we could open up e-commerce and not restrict it to just essential services. And that made really a significant impact on e-commerce in South Africa in general.
And perhaps the last question for me, and I think it's probably one of the biggest discussion points, in this e-commerce, in this whole e-commerce thing for South Africa, whether it's 2020 or just going forward, is what's actually holding us back? Because in the UK, I think at the start of the year, they were sitting at around 20% of retail, with the expectations that they would reach 40% of retail due to COVID-19. South Africa right now, from your estimates, we might see an upper limit of 4-5%, which is big when you consider the base that we're starting at, having gone from the 1.2, 1.4 last year. So getting to these levels now is more than, maybe 3-4 times increase, right, from that point of view. But it does sound as if there's still a whole lot of room that needs to be covered by e-commerce in South Africa. So from your point of view, what's actually holding us back?
So there's a significant amount of things that are holding us back. And if we really compare to, countries like Europe, for instance, that have very, very high e-commerce percentages, it really is driven by the SMB sector. And so we need a lot more small to medium businesses that are actively participating. We have a lot of challenges. Unemployment is very high. We know that it's north of 31%. So we've got 14.7 million people that don't have a job in this country. We have 16 million people that are facing food insecurity. You know, so those are things that we've also got to consider. When you look at e-commerce, it's also very dependent on delivering your food, your groceries to areas. If we want to look at including township deliveries, for instance, we know that there's innovation, smaller companies like Ekazi, for instance, that cover these areas. However, there are still challenges around that, still challenges from an infrastructure perspective. I think, you know, adoption also has to come with education. So there is a lot of, I would say, room for education and opportunities for empowerment, specifically in relation to upskilling women. And the FSA, of course, has got many programs that are going to take place in relation to this, with the city of Johannesburg, for instance. But we've got a significant amount of challenges. So I don't believe that we are going to get to that 20-25% anytime soon. We have got a significant amount of other issues to resolve in South Africa.
So that's been us with Karen Addison, who is the CEO of PayU South Africa. They are a payments and fintech company. She is also the chairperson of the e-commerce forum of South Africa. She was just giving us some insight into what happened this year, particularly around Black Friday and Cyber Monday, two of the biggest retail events of the year. And she actually says that despite South Africa having had a very slow start, usually there's a bit of a midnight rush, despite that not happening through the day, there was growth and some interesting trends where you saw, you know, some of the retailers, particularly in segments such as fashion, being the winners. But at the same time, some of the big industries that COVID-19 has hurt, like travel, also saw some declines on these 2 days. Ending off, just talking about what it actually takes for us to get to higher levels of adoption. She's talking about the fact that more small businesses need to embrace some of these things, and at the same time, there needs to be a bit of education that's actually given both for consumers and to small businesses, and at the same time, a lot of infrastructure that needs to go there. Massive growth in e-commerce in 2020, you know, 3-4 times fold, but there's still some way to go. So, Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Madira. Thanks for having me.
This is Madira's Take.
Yet another fascinating discussion just around what's going on in and around e-commerce in South Africa. Always good to talk to Karen. When we first spoke to her, she had just been appointed as chairperson of the e-commerce forum. And at that time, you know, we were still speculating about this rising adoption in e-commerce. And down the line, it's good to see that that adoption really has happened, because if you think about the fact that it has almost tripled within the space of a year due to the pandemic, then e-commerce players have done well, and it sort of helps South Africa to actually move forward in terms of getting onto that next wave of retail and e-commerce, and just making sure that the country is where it is. In terms of Black Friday, I'm still here on that 38 million rand spent in 1 hour. And when you think about the fact that this is just on one platform, one payments processor, and that there are other payments gateways, fintech companies, banks, and the fact that right now we're primarily focusing on online retail, that there's a whole retail sector that was also taking advantage, people walking into actual shops, shopping, just taking advantage of the deals, maybe gives a sense of what Black Friday must have actually looked like in terms of the numbers. It would be good to engage with a company like Bankserv that probably has a wider view, just looking at banking data specifically from that point of view, to see what the level of transactions must have been like. And the other one is to consider is just how much e-commerce has grown in South Africa, and the fact that we have seen that that increase. When we first spoke to Karen earlier this year, she had just become the chairperson, and all of those predictions, seeing them actually coming to fruition, very good. And also going forward is those sticking points, and it's good to hear some of the sticking points she's talking about versus some of the sticking points we hear other e-commerce players talking about infrastructure, small to medium businesses, the rate of unemployment. All of these factors in the real economy also affect life online, because that is a microcosm in some ways of what's actually going on in the real economy. So it will be something to keep an eye on. What I'm keen to see in 2020, and I think what will be interesting, is to see whether there will be an acceleration, because if a sector has grown by 2, 3, 4 times in 2020 alone, is it really realistic to see similar jumps in 2021, right? Because Karen already said that she doesn't expect South Africa to reach that 20-25% range anytime soon. And if we took the same amount of growth that happened in 2020, you'd realistically be reaching those 15-20% of retail numbers for e-commerce in 2021. But now that all of this growth has happened, it makes one wonder, with all the stumbling blocks that South Africa does have, how much room is there really to grow? Yes, there'll always be that slow rate of movement, but those big jumps, those high rates of adoption, was 2020 the year when that happened and then that's it? Or are we going to see that trend continuing into 2021? We wait to see. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaete. I've been Mdiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.